The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Under the construction of the New England Patriots dynasty, my friend. You've literally written a book about Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. But you've never seen a story like the one that's unfolding before our very eyes. We've never seen Bill Belichick lose by 35 points as the Patriots did yesterday to the Dallas Cowboys. And I'd just like to come to you, man, for a state of the union address, yeah, if you will, when it comes to the New England Patriots. You're still right there in Boston, but we're witnessing history. This is the most successful dynasty in NFL history, or what's left of it. That is what's left of it. And this is unprecedented. How far they've fallen. And the crazy thing to me, Michael, is I don't feel anything. And by that I mean,
yeah,
I'm not shocked. I don't expect anything better from them. Like, this isn't disappointing. This isn't devastating. This isn't unnerving. I looked at them like, yeah, that's about right. they're just not good.
Right.
They're not
that's
good.
Right.
Mac
they're
Jones
not good.
Isn't good. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing of, like, maybe their best player.
I don't know.
The guy, but the guy that's arguably the best player, Matthew Judon, I would say, is the best player.
Yeah.
Now he's hurt, so it's gonna get worse before it gets better. And as I said in the feed, this chase for Don Shula's 347 wins record isn't gonna happen anytime soon. You tell me, it may not happen in New England, if at all, for Bill Belichick. Floor is yours, my brother, historian of the Patriots that you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it will happen. It will happen. I don't know if it happens in New England. You're right, but it will happen for Bill Belichick. Now, look, I like the way you said this. A State of the Union. You know what you never hear in State of the Union addresses? No matter who's in power.
Truth.
I don't care if you're a Republican.
Truth.
That's right. Republican.
Honesty.
Democrat.
Facts.
Apolitical. Independent. Nobody ever says in a State of the Union address, it's bad. Oh, it's bad right now.
Yeah.
They find some sliver. They find something to latch on to. Half the room stands up and says, yes, yes. The other half just sits there at our divisive times and sit there with their arms folded, like, whatever. When can we get this thing going? So I'm going to give you a State of the Union address for the New England Patriots. And it lacks a critical thing, hope. It lacks hope.
Yeah.
There are two problems with the Patriots right now, and they are both Bill Belichick's fault. They don't have any good answers. And they don't have any great players. So you pointed out that Matt Judon is out. So that's their best defensive player. Their second best defensive player is a rookie, Christian Gonzalez. He left the game yesterday. He was the defensive player of the month. So if you're an opposing offensive coordinator, you already looked at them and you didn't shake. You didn't fear the Patriots, but now you have no reason to look at them and think somebody can wreck your game plan. You respect them. Those guys get paid too. Cliche here, cliche here, cliche here. You got it. But nobody, there's no Khalil Mack. There's no Bosa, Nick, Joey, anybody in the family. there's no Bosa to worry about. So the Patriots are, they're dealing with something that nobody in NFL history has ever dealt with before. So nobody in the history of football over a 20-year period has won 6 Super Bowl titles. Nobody. 6 championships. This is a dynasty that had a front door and a back door and a very competitive middle, a contending middle, championships 3 and 4 years at the front, 3 and 5 years at the back. We've never seen it before. And now we've never seen what do you do when you wake up after the dynasty. After you have slept with your 6 championships, stick with me. After you slept with the 6 championship, the next morning you wake up and you say, ooh, what happened? That's where the Patriots are now. What do we do now? Well, what do you do now? You're rebuilding. And nobody's ever told you how to rebuild after you won your 6. And it's not just one thing, Mike. It's not one thing. It's not like some people say, oh, Tom Brady, you shouldn't have let Tom Brady leave. Well, when Tom Brady left the Patriots, he was already 75 years old when he left. So you're just delaying. You're delaying it by 2 or 3 years.
He would have been there for a couple more years. Yeah.
Man, you know, maybe you hold it together, but it was already starting to fall apart. It was, it was cratering then with Brady. But I think what's going to happen with the Patriots, I think Belichick stays. If I'm Robert Kraft, this is what I do.
Stays for how long? Wait, you say stays. Stays for how long?
Couple more years.
Because this year, couple more years?
Couple more.
Okay. Because this year, there was some tension coming into this year, some expectation. Yep. And I don't remember hearing the word rebuilding thrown around New England.
Because they should have. They should have. My prediction, I'm terrible at predictions, but my prediction before the year, they asked me, hey, what do you think the Patriots record is going to be? I said 6-11. Actually, my hot take, and we'll get to it later, I'm very proud of it right now, I said the Houston Texans will win more games than the New England Patriots. That was my hot take before the season. Mm-hmm. Looking pretty, right now, it's 2-1. It's 2-1. Feeling pretty good. But here's the caveat. This is the big thing for the Patriots. Bill Belichick, you're allowed to return. What you ain't allowed to do anymore is just go into the pantry, go into the refrigerator, and do whatever you want. You can't do that anymore. You need to do that with supervision. So Bill Belichick has always been the person who is responsible for drafting players, signing players, his kind of guys. He's the final word. I'd say this, and I wouldn't even be a jerk to him. And I thank you for everything that you've done. These 6, we got those banners up there, and those banners don't happen in part because of without you. But all the guys that he respects, Michael, in NFL history, from Paul Brown to Don Shula to Chuck Knoll, all those guys, at the end, it was difficult to manage both. Like, Don Shula had some good records at the end, but he had a great quarterback in Dan Marino. Most guys can't win without the great quarterbacks. Don Shula couldn't win with him. So that was hard. It was hard for them to manage both jobs at the end. Paul Brown couldn't do it. And this is before salary cap. You cannot coach a team and then bring in great. It's hard to do. And most coaches in football haven't been able to do it successfully. They haven't.
Yeah. I just don't know. You would know better than me. It just feels like teaching an old dog new tricks. He might be too old to ask him to change. All this time? Okay.
Because you know, what you ain't too old to understand? Paycheck.
Unemployment. Okay. So paycheck, before we move on, this going back to the math. So right now he's at 330. Shula, of course, 347. This is combining regular season and playoffs, right? If you got him at 6-11 this year, that's 5 more. So he'd be at 335. So 335 to 347. Yep. I was told there would be no math. So, how many more years I don't know if 12 is 12 don't it don't, well, don't man, happen it, as easy as it once did. Is Kraft gonna keep Belichick there long enough to get the 347 in New England? Will somebody else hire Bill Belichick in his advanced age? Okay. Maybe. But is he gonna
Ain't no maybe. If Bill Belichick, you mean tell me if Bill Belichick gets fired today, tonight, does anybody say, oh, we coming up with
once
a plan?
Once upon a time, it had been ridiculous. Once upon a time, it had been ridiculous to think that Bill Belichick could not have his job, the job of his choosing. Once upon a time, that would have been ridiculous to think that. But in a day and age where most teams, not all, there are some exceptions, so many teams seem to be looking for the new hotness, seem to be looking for the young guy who once had a cup of coffee with a Sean McVay or something like that. I don't know that every organization would be falling over themselves to Bill Belichick, absent Tom Brady, given the product that Bill Belichick has put out there the last couple of years, absent Tom Brady, I don't know that as many teams
four.
Will be like, here you go, Bill. Job's all yours, my friend. I don't know.
I got four of them.
I don't know.
I got four.
The luster's kind of sort of off of him right now. Not his resume, not his record, not what he's done. He's still the GOAT. But at least in the present time, they're like,
Thank you.
I don't need to go. I can go 1-3 by myself. I don't need to give you the keys to the organization to go 1-3. Like, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for them lately? I don't know. It's not a slam dunk. That's all I'm saying.
Well, jeez, Michael, that's all you had to say. Look, you're making my argument for me. Exactly, yes. Exactly what you just said is the reason you're Robert Kraft. You can go to Bill Belichick and say, you can still coach here. Tell this general manager outside of the Belichick mafia, tell this general manager that, so this person, your last name, I'm telling you, I'm discriminating. Your last name cannot be Lombardi, Ferentz. You can't be connected to a Saban, O'Brien, all of them, all these Belichickian, Parcellsian, just kind of hanging around. No. It's got to be somebody else outside that family. And that general manager is going to come in. Bill Belichick's going to tell him the kind of team he wants to build. And the general manager will say, okay, I know what kind of player you're looking for, but I'm going to pick the right players for you. Do you understand, Mike? We're casting visions. We're casting visions for the new Patriot reign. We're casting visions. And I let me point out to you, Bill Belichick, picking players is not of this time. He's from another time. You realize Bill Belichick, in his entire coaching career, has picked two wide receivers in the first round. His entire career. He doesn't believe in picking receivers. Two in the first round. One of them was N'Keal Harry, picked number 31.
And Michael Jackson.
No. Derek Alexander.
Oh, Derek Alexander.
First of all,
Somebody in Cleveland.
You can't pick a guy from Michigan to save you, unless it's Tom Brady. But Derek Alexander picked like number 29 or something like that. So 29 years as a head coach. Today's NFL and today's players, sometimes he just kind of misses them. I still think he can coach. He can coach.
No, I don't.
I'll wrap
it up with this.
He can't pick
everything you just laid out. Everything you just laid out sounds great if you're trying to stay together, if you're motivated to stay together. That's great mediation on your part. Feels like a recipe for, you know what, let's just go our separate ways. Let's just call it a day.
Go be great somewhere else.
Hey, most of your wins were here in New England.
Except Tom did it.
Go get the 347 somewhere else. Get the 348 somewhere else. 340. Sorry, we ain't got time to wait for you to scratch and claw to get these other wins that the rest of these wins. Real quick.
You are unfair to Mac Jones, who throws like about a 75 mile per hour fastball. Okay, he's a kid. Mac Jones, you know, you're outside, you're trying to throw rocks at your girlfriend's window so the parents won't hear. He's the one who threw rocks that never broke the window. I mean, he just just throwing them up there. And it never broke the window. That dude, he ain't got the fastball is not bringing it. But you know what?
So Tua,
his Alabama brethren, Tua and Jalen Hurts, both of those guys had A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, Tua, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle. And Mac has Devontae Parker and Kendrick Bourne? What?
I think Mac is aight. And I guess maybe I have a hard time giving somebody a pass when they're that dirty. You can't be dirty and average at the same time. So maybe I'm sorry. I don't mean to make it personal.
That's fair. That is fair.
But honestly, that leads me right where I want to go.
Don't be doing that to a brother. Don't do that to nobody else.
Is to a guy that you have caped up for. You have caped up for this guy since BYU. I, like everybody else, have been harsh on this guy. And yet, last night, speaking of making history, we saw Zach Wilson do something that no quarterback has ever done on the collegiate level or the professional level. And that would be to have fewer interceptions, more completions, passing yards, and touchdown passes in a game against Patrick Mahomes. I didn't think we would be coming on the show today saying, Zach Wilson outplayed Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football. I knew we'd be talking about Taylor Swift. I knew we'd be talking about Travis Kelce. I figured we'd be talking about a Chiefs win, but not one in which Zach Wilson acquitted himself. So who would have thought that in week four that Jets fans would wake up feeling better than Patriots fans? And yet here we are. Jets fans feeling good about themselves because they earned a moral victory last night because Zach Wilson was functional. First career game with 2 touchdowns and no interceptions. He was functional. If you are a Jets fan, can we quiet the speculation about trading for quarterbacks with no trade clauses? Can we quiet the notion that this is a lost season because Zach Wilson showed you enough last night in defeat? Or are you more focused on the fumble snap? unless you focus on the holding call. I don't know. But ultimately, the story to me is Zach Wilson, especially if you're a Jets fan last night.
Michael Smith, come on. You know better. Now, see, I know how long I've been married. So then, therefore, I know how long you've been married. So I've been married for 16 years. And so for you, you got married a couple years before I did. So I think it's 18 for you. Is that right? 18 years? Am I right?
Yes. I am 18, yes.
All right. Yeah. You don't even know. That's a shame.
I don't know.
Anyway.
how much time needed to elapse before I said, there was no hesitation in my voice. How much, like how quickly do I need to say? I mean, I didn't pause. I didn't.
Anyway, we ain't been out in these streets for a long time. So this example. I'm talking about other people. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about other people. When you're in that relationship, that bad relationship, because I start this off by telling you, I broke up with Zach Wilson last week. I broke up with Zach Wilson.
I thought you did. But you put up with a lot, though. You did put up with a lot. So you deserve some
credit. I put up with a lot.
You were the last person I put up with a lot. Break up with him.
All my friends were telling me, that's no good. Move on. Got that call in the kitchen. Come here, let me talk to you. You gotta go to the bathroom. Come here, let's talk about that.
Let me holler at you, Bobby Caldwell. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Let's just talk for a little bit. And so, I moved on from Zach Wilson, and all the things you say are great, but no Jets fans don't feel great today. They're 1-3. They thought they were going to the Super Bowl. They're 1-3. The Patriots that you just crushed. In that first segment, you just crushed the Patriots. They lost to them. Okay, the Jets lost to the Patriots, and they lost to them 15 straight times. So if the Jets are they a better 1-3 than the Patriots? No, because they lost to them. And Zach Wilson is capable of this.
No,
no. Well, what if
it's like?
And Zach Wilson's case.
A week ago, I wouldn't have said that.
In Zach Wilson's case, what you've done for me lately, I don't believe. Because that's why I stayed in a relationship so long anyway. I told all my friends, you haven't seen that side. You haven't seen that side of them. Oh, can be charismatic, funny, interesting, worldly, blah, blah, blah. Can quote great literature, likes long walks on the beach. Yep. Okay, just wait.
Just wait. You're absolutely right. Because next week it'll be.
I don't know what he's going to do.
Back to crapping on Zach
against
Wilson.
The Broncos.
Right. No. Okay. But right. just. But let him have this. Let him have this moment. Here's why Jets fans should be encouraged today, because just like you said about Tom Brady, it was going to end at some point. Likewise, whether Aaron Rodgers comes back at the end of this season, whether he comes back next year. Aaron Rodgers is going to be out that door at some point as well. Part of the appeal of Aaron Rodgers, and they never wanted to give up on Zach Wilson, was having him allow Zach Wilson to have this reset, which unfortunately a lot of young quarterbacks don't get to have, right? We make our minds up about young quarterbacks, and we discard them like it's nothing. Maybe this is a glimpse into what Zach Wilson could be after Aaron Rodgers. Not just this season, but it just goes to show, like, wait a second. Every time Robert Saleh was defending Zach Wilson, maybe it was all worth it. And maybe there is something in this kid. Maybe he's not a lost cause. And maybe the Jets don't have to go back to the draft a year or two from now to get a young quarterback. For once, number two didn't play like shit. That is cause for celebration. That is absolutely
like
should be celebrated. Like, because wait a second. There's hope for this offense. He's not going to ruin Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. Maybe there's hope for us to, you know, win enough games this year. I'm saying if I'm a Jets fan, I'm not. I got no skin in this game.
Right.
It's just, all I'm saying is, if you're the Jets right now, this is the moment you've been waiting for. And if you did not believe in moral victories, Shedeur Sanders, this was a moral victory for the New York Jets.
No.
This was a moral victory for the New York Jets. Yes, it was. 100%. On top of that, they could blame the officials for making the correct call, I might add. They could blame the officials.
Okay.
If you're New York, it's perfect. You didn't get embarrassed on national television. Your quarterback had his best game. And you could always use the excuse of a horseshit holding call on Sauce Gardner, which was the correct call.
Yeah.
But you can blame that if you want to. You know,
it might be.
Meanwhile, the Patriots are miserable. They got the brakes beat off.
Okay.
Perfect.
And y'all both 1-3. And they beat you.
Same as they did.
And they beat you.
Both the Cowboys curb stomped both of these teams. There you go.
You haven't beaten the Patriots since the Obama administration. The second one. The streak. Come on. No, you don't feel good. And I love that quote from Robert Saleh. And, you know, if he can play like this, hey, Robert.
Michael, if I'm broke and you give me $5, I'm going to feel better than the person who's rich and it just made $100. It means more to the Jets. Like, this is a bigger deal to the Jets because of how far they have to go. And what they've been dealing with.
The Jets sound more desperate than they are.
You're a spoiled
Patriots,
man. That's even worse. Of course you don't. You feel like you're above me.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All new, and a multitude of our fans know, and some of you wonderful and brilliant writers know, that if we would have got that ball last, we were going to go down and score. We knew that. We know that. Everybody in here knows that. His teammates knew that. And that's just what he brings to the table. He's unflappable. And he's very whys and understanding on the whys and the calls and what he sees out there on the field. We understand what's coming. If you can't see what's coming with CU football, you've lost your mind. You're just a flat-out hater if you can't see what's going on and what's going to transpire over the next several months. Something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so something is wrong with all three of us. I think I can speak on behalf of Michael Holly and Mike Hill. Something is wrong with us, for sure. Okay, we're not haters. Like, in general, something's wrong with us, right, Mike? We can admit that. Go but ahead. We're not haters. Matter of fact, we all love what Deion is doing at Colorado and doing for college football and culture in general, Mike Hill. But I did hate the lack of urgency on Colorado's last possession, which cost them an opportunity to get the ball back in Shedeur Sanders' hands. That was a mismanaged final possession on the part of Colorado. They ran too much. They weren't in enough of a hurry without timeouts, and they never got the ball back from USC. Having said that, they came back, and even though either Shedeur Sanders, Mike Hill, either didn't or doesn't know what a moral victory is or was being sarcastic, regardless, his response when asked, does he believe in moral victories, was, what's that? I think a moral victory, Mike Hill, is whatever you decide it is. And if you're a Colorado fan, coming back and making it close against USC constitutes and qualifies as a moral victory. What say you?
Don't let his confidence affect your insecurities, Michael Smith. I mean, that's, you know, this is prime, and prime son, man. They believe in themselves. They don't believe that they want to just be close in these games. They want to win football games this season. Nobody expected this team to win three games in their first three games of the season. Nobody expected them to win four games. This team right now is going to win six, seven games. Still got Arizona State, Stanford. I still think they're going to beat UCLA. Right. They got Arizona on their schedule. But yeah, I agree with you in one thing. I do believe that they lack the sense of urgency coming down the stretch. They act like they were only down seven, didn't want to get a ball back to Caleb Williams and USC instead of being down 14. They would have been in a better position to win that ball game. But I do agree with Prime. Had they gotten that onside kick, I do believe they would have tied this game up. And it was, whatever you want to call it, a moral victory, not just for this season, Michael Smith and Michael Holly, but for the next season, because you got guys that are looking to go into the transfer portal. You're looking at guys who are looking at recruiting and looking at this team fought back from a 27-point deficit and scored the last 20 points when they could have folded, when they could have given up, considering what happened to them against Oregon last week. They did not do that, and they almost got the job done. So this is going to go a long way going forward for Colorado football.
Holly, I don't think moral victory sometimes has a negative connotation to it, or it sounds like a cop-out, or it sounds like you're grading on a curve. For all the reasons Mike Hill just talked about, and that we all know, they won one game last year. Like, the expectations were for them not to take college football by storm the way that they had. So if it's about the brand, if it's about always be closing and recruiting or whatnot, that was a great recruiting tool going head-to-head with Caleb Williams and keeping it close.
Definitely.
Michael Holly, they're still at the point in the development of this program where close does count. Not just in hand grenades and horseshoes, but it does count for now. Because the standard isn't to a point where you should be expecting them to beat USC. Even they may expect it. Nobody on the outside expected it, Michael Holly. Am I making sense?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think a culture is being created. There's a vibe. With Colorado football in Boulder, people are flocking there. You know, you were wearing your sweatshirt last week, Michael.
Yeah,
your
was.
Kids wearing that Colorado sweatshirt.
I do have a second one. Yeah.
It's
so we're
at
a point. Yeah. But Black America's team. All this. Yes, exactly. But I wonder if we're also at a point where we'll get past it this season. Could you talk about? Let's go back to clock management. Because Deion is so larger than life, and because we just like, sometimes it's you put the microphone in front of him and just let him go. He'll go. He'll do his thing. A lot of seasoned journalists don't approach him the same way you'd approach any other coach. Okay, yeah, this is great. Mm. Some great poetry here, Deion, but let's get into the nuts and bolts, the X's and O's.
Right.
Why did you do what you did? Why did you approach it that way? Nobody's talking to Deion like that. I wonder if this game is that change, we actually start covering Deion Sanders like he's a coach and not this celebrity freestyle.
Sure. Well, Mike Hill, you literally work in college football for Fox. Like, you're around college football. Is this a Deion thing, or is this a college culture thing in general, where college coaches have so much power and they rule with such an iron fist, banning people from covering their programs, for crying out loud, where the journalists who cover the
teams are often
reluctant to challenge them? Because I don't think it's too soon to hold them accountable for screwing up that last possession, Mike Hill.
But you know what? They're larger than life. Like you said, Nick Saban is larger than life. He's the biggest figure in Alabama. Right now, Riley at USC is owning California in the state of football when it comes to California college football. And right now, Colorado is the talk of all the college football and what Prime is able to do. I think that for that last possession for Colorado, I think it didn't get a lot of consideration or a lot of criticism only because they were so amazed. People were still so amazed that they scored those last 20 points at the end of that ball game. Sure, the clock management was terrible. I think they thought they were down 7 in the period. I'm screaming in the green room, like when my colleagues are screaming in the green room, what are they doing? But once again, give this guy credit, give this team credit. Amarion Miller, a freshman who hadn't had a catch all season long, had 7 for almost 190, getting them back into the ball game and whatnot. Give Shedeur Sanders credit for what he did. Give this whole Colorado fan base credit for not giving up on the team. This team, the stadium could have been empty, but they almost witnessed one of the greatest comebacks in college football history. So we're not going to jump down Deion's throat for one possession that could have given them a better chance of tying the score, and they probably wouldn't have had to kick the onside kick. But at the same time, you kick the ball off of Caleb Williams, who knows? They go back up 14 points, and you see it in that same situation because the defense can't stop anybody. So I'm not going to get too far down Prime's throat because of what they were able to do at the end of that ball game. Once again, one final point. It's not about this season, Mike. It's about next year. I guarantee you, when he gets his dogs in there, this team, this Colorado football team, not only going to win the Big 12 next year, they are going to be national title contenders within 2 years. I guarantee you.
Wow. No, I don't disagree with that. I just think it goes both ways. I think two things could be true. Like, you could give them credit for the comeback, but like, if they're going to go where Deion has prophesied that they're going to go, you got to do better in those situations, whether you have your players or not. Because very soon, it reminds me almost like the Detroit Lions, where, you know, like, you got to learn how to win these kinds of games. And getting close is not going to be good enough very soon. In the honeymoon stage, it is. But pretty soon, and also, too, just like we praise them for starting off 3-0, we could also say, hey, you know what? You were in a position to win this game and could have won this game, but for your own self-inflicted wounds. Go ahead, Mike Hill.
Real quick, no Travis Hunter. They were missing also one of their best defensive players, and Shiloh Sanders not on the football field. And I think most of the criticism not went to Colorado, it went more to USC. USC is the team that's expected to compete for a national championship this year. They're the one that has the reigning Heisman Trophy winner in Caleb Williams this year. They're a top 10 team this year right now, and they're the team that almost gave up the 27-point lead, even though it was on the road, against a team that won one game last year as an upstart and got blown out by Oregon just last week. So we were talking more, and the criticism was more about USC and their lack of defense, which was an issue for this team last year, still having those same problems this year. It could be the reason that they don't win a national championship this year.
Which I think goes to show that win or lose, Deion is a story. It kind of illustrates his hold on college football that he has right now. And a moral victory or a narrative just depends on what story you want to tell yourself. Which brings us to last night. Michael and I were just talking about this, Mike Hill, about Zach Wilson. If you're a Jets fan, how you feeling this morning about Zach Wilson, given that we've seen nothing but a career of bad, and last night he outperforms? So
he said if you're a Jets fan, we know you're impartial.
If you're a Jets fan, how are you feeling?
It's so bad for the Jets that I went to the New York Giants, as bad as they are right now, and said, no, don't give me that team. Give me this terrible team. I would much rather have this terrible team than the New York Jets and the MESS mess. But, yo, I'm looking at what Zach Wilson did last night. And he was everything that the Jets expected him to be when they drafted him a couple years as a second overall pick. I give him credit because he could have folded just like a lot of teams, a lot of players, I should say, do under New York scrutiny in the media and the fan base. I mean, you had fans literally losing their grip, their teeth, biting mad at Zach Wilson just last week, and he was able to bounce back and have a good performance against Kansas City and outplaying the MVP, the Super Bowl champion, and Patrick Mahomes. So the one thing I like about Zach Wilson, not only did he play well, he looked a lot like Aaron Rodgers with those back shoulder throws that he was throwing. It looks like he learned a lot from Aaron Rodgers. The thing I love the most about him is when at the end of the game, when he was on the sidelines, you can hear him mutter and say, "I cost us that game. I'm the reason we lost that game." He was more upset at himself over that fumble. When you saw how his teammates, he won his teammates over just by taking accountability. And if people
come
remember,
a long way since last year.
If, that's what I'm saying. If people remember, Mike, this is when Zach fell out of favor with the Jets. I mean, it was his poor play, don't get me wrong, but it was when he said, when people said, "Did you feel like you let your defense down?" And he straight up said, "No, that you're the quarterback of this team that hasn't gone to the playoffs in 11 or 12 years. You're the quarterback of the New York Jets. You're supposed to be the savior. You're supposed to be the franchise quarterback. And as a quarterback, you always take accountability." That's one thing he did not do last year. And I like seeing that he's taking accountability, some responsibility this year. And hopefully he can go forward. Now, of course, he's got the Denver Broncos defense next week. So I expect him to add on from what he did against Kansas City and continue that. And I think if he continues that, the defense playing the way it's playing, he will continue to grow. And maybe, just maybe, they'll show a sign of what Zach can be. And maybe he can be the franchise quarterback after Aaron Rodgers comes back and retires. Who knows?
Well, speaking of franchise quarterbacks and sideline scenes, because I know who Mike's guy is. He's really our guy. We both wanted CJ Stroud. But, like, yes. Right now, four games in, Stroud looks like the best one of the three, the big three, followed by Anthony Richardson, while Bryce Young, small sample size, is struggling. But I know there was another sideline scene that jumped out to you, Mike Hill, and that was Bryce Young addressing his team in defeat yesterday to the Minnesota Vikings. Again, you're very close to college football, so you saw this dude have the college football world in the palm of his hand at Alabama. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Bryce Young's early struggles so far? Concerned at all, or will this kid be just fine, just like Stroud and Richardson seem to be?
Can I tell you something about, and that's why I'm not concerned about Bryce Young, because I know the intangibles. I know the type of leadership he is. He has, not just for the Carolina Panthers. I'm also an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. So I love what he was able to do. I saw how he won games for Alabama last year. I know it's a college level, and I know the NFL is different. But this man is one of the smartest quarterbacks I've ever seen behind center in the game of football. I'm saying college, NFL, whatever. He knows what to do with the football at the right time. He just needs an offensive line that's going to protect him, just like a lot of quarterbacks do, right? But he doesn't have that right now. He has Adam Thielen. No disrespect to Adam Thielen, but that's your top receiver. Yeah. That's your top playmaker. I mean, this is old Adam. Now, Adam Thielen 5 years ago? Yes. Adam Thielen now? That's not your guy. They don't have weapons around this guy. And, oh, by the way, maybe they don't have a coaching staff that's coaching this guy up and giving him what he needs to go on right now. So,
They have as decorated and accomplished a coaching staff.
That's what I heard before he got there.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Mike Hill, but I want to take what you said and use it to celebrate CJ Stroud, because many of the things you just said about Bryce Young were being said about CJ Stroud and what he was inheriting in Houston. No offensive line, which has been hurt all year. Mm-hmm. No established weapons to speak of.
Yeah.
A rookie coach, a defensive-minded coach who we respected, D'Amico Ryans, and yet C.J. Stroud is making it do what it do and is off to a historic start. What does that say about C.J. Stroud, Michael Holly?
Hey, listen. Hey, Mike Hill, I know you're an Alabama fan. So, you know, he got a little bias with Young compared to Stroud. But Stroud, I'm not surprised. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not surprised. This is what he did. Mm. This is what he does. Mm. This is who he is. He just knows how to command a team. And I say the difference is, because I'm rooting for all of these guys. I'm rooting for all of them.
Right.
But One of the knocks against C.J. Stroud, remember, before the draft, some of his test scores were leaked out and processing. Okay, I never really felt like that was an issue. But if you really, if you hone in on that, and let's say it really doesn't mean that you can play quarterback enough. You process well on the on these tests, and if you don't, doesn't mean that you can't play quarterback. But it might tell you a little bit about how both of these guys approach the game. I think Bryce Young, at times, gets in his own way by thinking and overthinking. And C.J. Stroud has the gifts. He's got the arm. Yeah. He can run, too. Now, you haven't seen that much, but he can run it. He just goes out there and balls. He's just a baller. And I think that's what he's doing right now with the Texans. All the things you say, Mike Smith, are true. Rookie coach, offensive line, not great. Organization, not great. We've seen that up close the last 3 or 4 years. And he's just going out and doing his thing. So his beauty of it, his strength is he's got a lot of talent. And he just goes out and he plays. And everybody around him is better because he takes that approach. He will be, I said this last week, I'm going to stick with it. He will be the best quarterback in Texans history. Sorry, Deshaun Watson. C.J. Stroud will be better statistically. And C.J. Stroud will actually do something that the Texans don't know nothing about. He'll win. He will win. They will win.
They were winning for a while there. They were winning for a while, and it all fell apart.
I mean, win for
and,
real.
And it's gotten,
I ain't talking about, AFC South champs. We'll hang those in our gym. In our gym, we don't divisional.
We're not talking about the Saturday wild card games. We're talking about, marquee AFC teams. Championships. I got you.
Saturday wild card game, not the late one, the early one.
Yeah. For real.
Don't try to give up on Bryce Young quite yet, though.
No, not, definitely not doing that. Definitely not doing that. Yo, before we let you go, Mike, because you're a fashionable, a stylish man, probably the most stylish
very
of the three Michaels on this screen right now, Mike.
Very much so.
Wanted to get your thoughts on Jimmy Butler, who said that this is his emotional state. His look is reflecting his emotional state. Is he got the pimp named Slickback look going on at media day today? Wondering if you're at all concerned about his emotional state, or are you concerned for those of us who are overlooking the Heat compared to the Bucks and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference?
No, I think it was all a little subliminal message that Jimmy's sending out there. Jimmy may be a little pressed right now that his team wasn't able to pick up. Pressed that his team
literally
wasn't able
and
to pick
figuratively
up Damian Lillard in the offseason, of course. You know, that's a huge thing, right? But one thing he wants to get straight is that his team is still going to go to the NBA Finals this year. All they got to do is tie up a couple of loose ends or split ends or whatever, and they'll do that. And once they do it this year, he wants to complete the deal.
Smooth out the championship.
Smooth out the edges a little bit, and then they're going to celebrate by drinking some cherry wine.
Smooth out the edges. Smooth out the edges.
So the last one, I'm like, you fellas are old enough to remember, they're going to drink some cherry wine. That's a little Jermaine Stewart reference.
Yeah, okay. Listen, I'm telling you. If that dude came up to you, let's say you had never watched an NBA game, that dude came up to you and be like, yeah, man, I've been in the NBA Finals twice. You'd be like, get the hell out of here. I'm a ball. Like, that dude.
It's a baller.
You ain't like, you don't fear him. You fear him? Do you fear that?
Yes, but I fear that.
But y'all remember a thin line between love and hate? Where Martin was in the alley buying clothes. Yeah, we in the alley amongst piss and oil. Remember he showed him that shirt? And he was like, Ben Vereen could flow in that. But not like, only Jimmy Butler could show up to pull up to media day wearing that.
Only Jimmy
Butler.
And still,
you ain't questioning his seriousness, because you know my man is the ultimate competitor. Ultimate comedian, ultimate competitor.
No, yeah. I'm questioning. He mad. That's like emotional state. I didn't get Dame. See what you do to me if you don't give me Dame? This is what happens.
He's still going to take over, though.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Giannis might have these dad jokes, but Giannis is not playing no games when it comes to his legacy. And yet here he is once again holding this organization's feet to the fire, and they heard him.
Dame is the only one in the player empowerment era who made a demand. Only great player who made a demand that I want to go there and fail.
I think it's also a reality check for Dame that he's not the level of star, nor does he have the cachet that some of those others who you just named did.
I'm not hearing a lot of love. There's going to be a Natalie freestyle in a second from Dame.
I think everyone thought this was going to be like a more amicable parting, and it didn't really play out like that.
Now I want to nominate the Portland Trail Blazers for a daytime Emmy, because this drama is soap-like, right?
I'm gonna make this last point. They bored in Comfort Plus, that's me. The number that matters.
Comfort Plus, you must be on, you're on JetBlue.
Bragging ass. Brother
on JetBlue.
No, this is Delta. No, if I wanted to brag, I'll tell you I'm on. If I wanted to brag, Rita, I'll tell you I'm on Comfort Plus because first class was sold out. So if I wanted to brag, I ain't gonna brag.
No, but yes.
Tried to get Drew Holiday on the Celtics for, since I've been the coach. I know I would go into Danny's office every year and be like, hey, can we get Drew Holiday somehow? Got to pay a good price for things, right? Like, that's the way it goes. We're trying to win a championship. We're trying to be as good as we can be. We certainly did. And you know, two picks and two good players. And that is a real price. And but that's how good we think Drew is.
Before I ask you Bucks or Celtics, I do want to go back to last week. I want to go back to that clip we just played.
Okay, all right.
I guess he didn't, like I said, he didn't fail. He didn't fail. You mean he failed insofar as he didn't go to the team that he wanted to go to in Miami?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I still.
Because everybody else.
I still think it turned out better. I still think it turned out better.
Well, no, I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I agree. He's in a great situation. My point is, Anthony Davis was trying to go to the Lakers. He got there.
Yeah, that's
Kawhi Leonard got Paul George out of Oklahoma City. You coming with me? Paul George went
James
to the Clippers.
James Harden got out of Houston, you know, when he was ready to
James
get out
Harden got out of Houston and got out of Brooklyn.
Now Kevin,
he got exactly where
Kevin
he wanted
Durant,
to go.
Kevin Durant's weird, like, because Kevin Durant requested the trade and then rescinded the request and then requested it again. Kyrie
but
Irving
no, he
has
got
had
it,
multiple.
And yeah, even those
I,
guys.
I don't think that's a referendum on Dame. I think this was.
I think it is.
Less than a. How
a little
so?
Bit.
Because they still gave up Drew Holiday for him. You know, it's a referendum if you don't get anything in return for somebody. You know, like to me,
Milwaukee
still gave up a championship caliber guard in order to get him. And he was the guy that it took to keep Giannis happy. So I don't know how that says that Dame ain't that dude. Like,
No. It doesn't say that he's not.
For them.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's not that dude. We know who he is. He absolutely is. But what it says is he ain't got, you want to get some people, he ain't got the right people. You need more people. Look, there are professionals who do this thing who are skilled at it. They know when to start the demand. They know how to get things in place. They know how to work back channels, front channels. Dame didn't make his official request until after the draft. It's damn near July. He's saying Miami so much publicly, and his agent didn't help him either. He's saying so much publicly. The commissioner comes in and be like, hold on, what are you trying to say that you won't report?
Or even just going back reportedly. We're going back to Joe Cronin and saying, oh, but you know what? And I called this. Oh, you know what? I'll come back. If we don't get this done, I'll come back to Portland. And it was like, no, we're not doing this dance with you no more.
He blew that too. He messed that up. I mean, like, it really was Alonzo. Oh no, the hell you won't.
No, you won't. You effed that up. Let me read my paper.
Right.
Last thing on this though, also, if it wasn't a perfect storm of Giannis exercising his place in the player empowerment era by saying, hey, I ain't a lock that I'm a don't take my kindness for weakness. I may not re-sign here if you don't show me how serious you are about winning the championship. If not for that, maybe he ends up in Miami. I know Brooklyn was also an option, but maybe he ends up in Miami. We'll never know. All's well that ends well is all I say. Having said all that, Boston responds with Drew Holiday. Who you got in these? Boston and Milwaukee. Or other, as the case may be.
Boston. I got Boston.
Really?
I love what they did here. You know, and I like the pruning, the offseason pruning that they did. Essentially, Mike, they were able to take Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, Rob Williams, those three guys, those three players. And I know Smart, a lot of people look at him as the emotional center of the Celtics, but not as good as Drew Holiday. Malcolm Brogdon, not as good as Drew Holiday. No. And Rob Williams, who's a really good a defensive force. And they take those three guys, two draft picks, and they bring in a two-time All-Star, five-time All-League defender in Holiday, and a one-time All-Star who had a really great season. One-time All-Star, Kristaps Porzingis, health is a question. They bring in two All-Stars from last season's team, and they still have their two best players who haven't hit their primes yet.
Are they deep enough? They at the top yes. level, top six, second to none. Are they deep enough though?
Yes. Yes, deep enough to get the job done. And let me tell you this: if Jason Tatum improves even by 4%, if he's 5% better than he was last year, oh, that's it. That's all there is to it. It's over. Not just the best team in the East. If Jason Tatum improves by 5%, he's going to be the MVP of the league, and they go win it. I'm telling you, this is a squad. This is a squad right here with an assist. Thank you, Milwaukee Bucks. From Milwaukee Bucks. Who you got? Bucks or
something? I got Milwaukee. I got the Bucks.
What?
And the best duo in the league. And miss me with the, oh, well, Murray and Jokic, Steph and Clay, because they played together. Yeah. This duo ain't played together. Some of us like to see shit before it happens. They ain't played together yet. They're the best duo in the league. They're the best duo in the league. I don't care what you say. They just ain't done it yet. They're the best projection, maybe. I don't even know if I buy that. You like to wait till it happens. I like to call it.
Oh, that's Mike. You know the line. People won't remember what you said. They'll remember how you made them feel. That was for Tim Wakefield. Played 17 years in Boston. Made one All-Star team. But you know the lead story today is the passing of Tim Wakefield and just hit the impact that he had on people. A great man, one of the finest people I've ever met in Boston. Rest in power.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.